Konnichiwa, and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Konnichiwa.
And Gurs.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Ys, aka Ancient Books of Ys, an OVA from 1989. The dub was made in 2002.
If you were saying it wise, you're wrong. I'm saying that to the listener.
A new game in the franchise just released, so come for the SEO, stay for the podcast. It was made by Tokyo Kids, the studio behind nothing noteworthy, like Magikarno, Zoids Fusors, maybe?
Magikarp?
Magikarno. This was their first project, in any case. Ys currently has an Annie List score of 60%.
Not 16.
This is the worst no.
Ys. Okay, but for April Fools, what about we cover the worst anime in 3-episode rule?
Why didn't you have that idea last week?
I'm sorry.
Ys X Proud Nordics is technically not a new title in the long-running action RPG franchise, which started in 1987, but an enhanced version of Ys X Nordics from 2023. Not all of the games have been released outside of Japan, but they all follow the adventures of the same protagonist, which I did not realize.
Oh, I thought it was different protagonists.
So my short synopsis is, can the hero of legend save the country, or is he an 8-year-old girl? Artura?
Monsters are coming. Monsters are coming. Monsters are coming. Monsters are coming.
Okay, and Gus?
After a sailor man forces him into manual labor, which circumvents minimum wage laws because he's a minor, allowing the filthy sea dog to get filthy rich, Hayden Christensen sets sail to uncover mysteries of the land of Ys.
Okay. We open on monsters marching on the town of Minia. An alarm goes out and lots of archers race to the battlements. Another group of humans runs out to attack on foot. Then a narrator talks about things while we get a montage of regular people. It seems that the monster attacks are so constant that the army, it's actually a militia, fighting them all of the time is making everyone depressed. We then cut to a fortune teller on top of a tower in a magic circle who prophesizes that a brave soul comes.
Why they don't send out, like, they're woodcutters to fight, since one third of the monsters are like trees.
Also, why don't they just light their arrows on fire?
That's not a thing. That's not a real thing. That's not historically accurate. That never happened.
Ys is historically accurate except for...
Yes, it's not historically accurate. I mean, it is historically accurate, obviously. There was tree monsters back then.
We get the title card and then return on the coastal town of Promorok. Our red-headed protagonist, Adol Kristen, walks through the town and to the inn, which takes roughly 3 hours for some reason. It's a long intro, is what I'm saying. Adol tells the innkeeper that he's planning on travelling to Ysteria, which shocks him. Instead of learning more, we cut immediately to the room. The innkeeper is vague about why someone might want to avoid Ysteria, and then leaves. Adol muses to himself that he's specifically going to Ysteria because it's overrun by monsters.
He must be some sort of heroic type.
No, he's just a traveler.
What? Also, I would like to point out, I think this is the first time I catch the fact that they repeated when he was passing through the Bayside. They used the same frames, and I was like, oh my god, I caught it.
Yeah, it's a close-up of him walking past some buildings, then a wide shot of him walking down the between the stalls, and then that exact same two shots again.
What I find really funny is that they were trying to be sneaky about it, and they cut it, so it was a little bit closer. So it wasn't as noticeable.
They did. I thought, should I go back? No, I know it's the same shots. I don't need to go back.
I went back to check it. I was like, okay, there's this guy over here. And then you could barely see his face. And I found that really funny. I was like, that's a clever way to try to, like, you know, fool us.
Later, Adol finds Norton, who can tell him all about Esteria. Too long, didn't listen. Place is overrun by monsters. Ships go missing. Nobody goes there anymore.
Did you hear that in Esteria? Monsters are coming? Did you hear that?
I was going to... God damn it. Find a way to say that, but yeah. I'm starting to think this is not a safe for work enemy.
So Adol says he's going. So Norton offers Adol a job. We get a montage of Adol working over days or weeks, but after some time passes, Adol is looking out over the water and sees the Devil's Tower in the distance.
Let's not just skip over it. They lower a whole cow onto his back. What the fuck is with that? It's like that montage. I instantly knew. Oh, so he's gonna get to Esteria and he's going to have super strength and super stamina because that's some inhuman training that they put him through.
It's like Mr. Miyagi, but like in ancient East times.
In ancient, historically accurate East times.
I'm pretty sure Daniel-san didn't have to lift Mr. Miyagi's cars for his training.
Look, there was a montage that might have happened outside of the montage. We don't know. Norton tells Adol that the Devil's Tower is actually called Dharm Tower, and it's been there since time immemorial. But it's time for work. Norton tells Adol to load a single bag onto a small boat and then fires him. The boat is actually a gift, as are the supplies in the bag, I assume, and Adol leaves immediately.
Yeah, the police are breathing down my neck. I need to get rid of you, kid.
You're a non-union worker. You need to leave.
I bet he's going to get killed in Esteria anyway.
That'll cover your tracks nicely. Adol comments as he says that there's no sign of a storm. So, of course, a storm appears out of nowhere. And then we cut to Adol having washed up unconscious on a beach where he's attacked by monster wolves. But a sword flies from out of nowhere and skewers the two. Like, good shot, dude, with a sword as well.
He hides a sword launcher and
comes That's over not very historically accurate.
I mean... No matter what way you look at it, launching swords is... I don't think that was a thing.
Two men, Dogi and an unnamed mustachioed bloke, wonder if Adol somehow made it through the storm. And if so, he might be the brave soul mentioned by Sarah, the fortune teller. So they take Adol to Minia.
I like that his friend... Big friend is like, yeah, let's leave him here while smiling. No, let's take him. Okay, let's take him. He's so easygoing.
Well, Dogi doesn't feature again in the three episodes that we saw. However, he is in the rest of the East series, or at least up to the ninth game, which I've played a bit of, and he's right at the start hanging out with Adol. Adol wakes in a clinic, which the dub calls a hospital for some reason, and is greeted by Dr. Claes. Claes' son, Slagf, that's a weird name, appears from nowhere, and they're both surprised that Adol made it through the storm. And that's when Adol decides to notice the 20 or so other beds in the room full of injured people.
They're all moaning, that's why Adol had a sexy dream.
That doesn't feature into the plot in any way. It's just I felt I had to mention it because there's like 20 people there. There's a time skip and Adol is all healed, so joins Slagf on a battlement. Adol promises that he'll solve the mystery of where the monsters are coming from. It's the Devil's Tower, isn't it?
No, it's the Angel Tower, probably.
I mean, it's clearly the ancient time immemorial Devil's Tower that is called a Devil's Tower, because why? How's it going to be anything else?
It's interesting how in media back then, the enemies were the devils, the demons, and nowadays it's always the angels and God.
Well, that's because we all used to be good in the 80s and 90s, and now we are all evil, so...
The world ended after 2012.
Yeah, I think we realize that humans realize that humans suck, and now in every story, gods try to kill us, rightfully.
We do deserve it. Adol says that the fact he survived the storm means that he was destined to reach Asteria. Slagf agrees, telling Adol about Sarah's prophecy. So Adol heads to the fortune teller's shop. Sarah excitedly tells Adol that his coming was foretold, down to his name, but the adventurer doesn't like learning that his destiny isn't his own. She also explains that Asteria used to be called Ys, until it was overrun by monsters, which is happening all over again. Why would they stop calling it Ys?
We had to rename it because people stopped calling because of the monsters.
That's a clever marketing strategy. Did they get that from Facebook?
I was going to say they got it from Elon Musk, but he did the opposite. Now people don't want to come there anymore.
Then an alarm sounds because the monsters are on the attack. The defense goes poorly until Adol enters the battlefield. The scenes of fighting are intercut with scenes of Adol talking with Sarah. He promises to help, so she gives him a crystal shaped like a dagger and tells him to go see her aunt in the town of Zabik.
I thought it was a tiny sword.
Shaped like a tiny sword or shaped like a dagger? It could be either.
I mean, sure, shaped like a dagger, but... I mean, a sword is shaped like a dagger. Just cut this.
You mean you thought that it was a crystal sword?
She just found a tiny model and... or an action figure and took that sword from the action figure. Here, have this. It looks cool. Maybe it's important.
It looks cool. that's the reason that I would have picked it up as a child. Yeah, it looks cool. We cut to Adol preparing to leave Asteria, now kitted out in armor and has a shield. Literally everyone is there, it seems, and he leaves... as the narrator reminds us of the plot, and we get the credits. Episode 2 opens with a young Adol reading a book where he gets the adventuring bug. Cuts to present day, and Adol wakes before continuing on his way, and we get the title card.
And he just runs through the fields, no problem, without stopping. Monsters are in his way, he just pulls out the sword, cuts them down, keeps running, like... Yeah, all that training paid off.
If he hadn't lifted that cow, who knows how badly this would have gone. The narrator once more reminds us of the plot over a montage of Adol travelling. He eventually arrives in Zabik and finds the place in ruins. But a random human tells him it's Laskin, not Zabik. The whole drama lasted about 45 seconds.
Don't you mean 3 hours?
I like that he starts laughing, like, thank God this other village got slaughtered instead of the one I'm always going to.
Yeah, the people that I saw off camera clearly slaughtered. Ha ha, sucks to be them. The rando, named Luta Gemma, offers to escort Adol to Zabik, even though he just said that he just came from there. Like, oh, I'm going out, I'm going to walk to this village and then walk back. Clearly doesn't have a job. Luta comments that there was no silver in Laskin, but only the silver. He posits that the monsters must have taken it.
And until he mentions that the village, the town was known for mining silver, it sounds like, yeah, people are dead, I'm gonna steal their money.
I was looking around and I couldn't find any silver, just all this gold. What am I gonna do with all the gold? We cut to them arriving in Zabik late in the day, and Luta offers to put Adol up for the night. And they could go and see Sarah's Aunt Jeva tomorrow. While they eat with Mrs. Luta, she doesn't deserve her own name, Adol comments on an ornate figure over the fireplace. It's a statue of one of the goddesses of Ys, which brings up the fact that Adol is the legendary brave soul. Adol tries to foo-foo it, but Luta asks him not to. The people need something to believe in, even if Adol refuses to. Which I thought was a good message. Later, Luta, playing the lute, get it, outside of Adol's bedroom window, makes the adventurer go out to chat. So Luta plays him a song. And that's the scene. The next morning, they go to see Jeva, but on the way, they're interrupted by someone relaying a message from Minia. Sarah was attacked by monsters. Luta decides that Jeva shouldn't be told yet, and they continue on their way. Luta soon drops off Adol and leaves, and Jeva wastes no time in telling Adol that he is not the legendary brave soul. In fact, she's met...
we just fucking tell you?
In fact, she's met more than one Adol Christians over the year. No, over the years. One of which was an 8-year-old girl. Hence my summary.
Oh, now I get it.
Though she acquiesces that he might just not be the legendary brave soul yet. She tells him the legend of Ys, how the legendary brave soul needs to gather 6 books to open the gates of Ys and unlock great power. Adol asks where to find the books, and she says that the monsters have them, and sends him up to Mount Precious.
Huh. Ironic name.
Cut to the mountain, and he fights some monsters, but his arm is cut. This never plays into anything. As he goes, he notices that the Tower of Dharm is taller than the mountain. Cuts to the Shrine of Solomon at the top of the mountain. Well, nearly, because the mountaintop is actually a crater full of a forest. Dozens of monsters burst out of the ground between Adol and the shrine. However, he just avoids most of them, and upon entering the shrine, discovers that the monsters cannot follow. Unfortunately, he finds that the shrine leads to a dead end, until the dagger crystal begins to shine. He touches the crystal to the statue. He touches the crystal to a statue, and it teleports him somewhere. He wanders through some hallways and finds some big doors, which swing open easily, to reveal a woman chained up.
Oh my.
He turns into Captain Kirk and says, "Let me show you this human thing called kissing." No. This isn't another anime where the hero molests the women.
But the monsters are indeed coming.
He tries to break the chains while she tells him to escape before the guardian monster returns. The guardian monster is a giant centipede. The fight goes poorly for Adol, with the monster trying to insert him into walls, until he tricks it into smashing itself through a wall so hard that it flies out through the side of the mountain. And I hope it didn't survive the fall, because whoever's down there is in for a bad time.
Yeah, but my thought about that, I was like, oh my lord, our hero, instead of heroing, just set loose this monstrosity everywhere. The creature's like, wait, the world is bigger than my castle?
I'm not sure if tricking is, accurate. I feel like that would just happen by accident. It came across like a Looney Tunes moment. Like, I'm gonna charge him, and the other side of the wall, ah, fuck!
I mean, it was traveling for a good few seconds before it came out the other side. How hard did it go that it couldn't stop while plowing through solid rock?
Just needs inner dialogue of the monster. Now I'm gonna do it super hard. Ah, fuck! He falls to his death.
The chains free the woman and a portion of the wall crumbles, revealing the Book of Ys. The first book, I should say. Then Adol picks up the unnamed woman and slides down the mountain.
Again, low-key superhuman. Here, come on, I'm gonna hold you and we're gonna slide down the fucking steep hill. And we're gonna be okay. He keeps his balance all the way down.
Yeah, while holding someone, that's such a difficult thing to do. But again, the cow training comes in handy.
Yeah, but to be a real brave soul, you need to pick up two cows.
Like that 8-year-old girl could.
The old woman says.
Java provides narration, telling us about an ancient metal called Clyria and how important the Shrine of Solomon was. Then the narrator, who spoke earlier, asks why the woman was held prisoner, which I kind of expected Java to answer, because who does two independent narrators speaking one after the other?
They're kind of just talking to each other. Man, did you just see what Andal did? Yeah, totally.
If only the mountain had been made out of Clyria.
It's multiple layers of narrators. Another comes in and comments on the second narrator's narration.
The narrator was an idiot, ignore what she said.
And then we get the credits. The third episode opens on people talking about Sarah being attacked by monsters inside the town. As we learned last episode, Slagf enters Sarah's shop and tells her to pack up as it's getting late and she's still injured. Newcomer Leah enters and also tells Sarah that she needs to rest. But was Leah not carrying a tray of food? Was she not bringing that to Sarah? Why is she shocked to find Sarah is there?
She's just squatting there. Just storing her food in her house. Get out! It's my time to live here!
Sarah and Slagf are then very shocked that Leah wants Sarah to rest. It's like, you should rest, Sarah. Gasp! Why are you gasping? We then cut to some wizards overlooking Minia menacingly and then get the title card. We return to Java holding the book of Ys, while Adol swims in the lake with the former prisoner named Fina on the bank. Adol catches a fish, which then they put into a puddle. Like, I assumed that he was catching it so they could eat it, but maybe they want it for a pet. Adol comments that they can't forget that while they're relaxing, the country is overrun by monsters. So Fina decides that now it's time to tell him that she has amnesia. You know,
it's just a very nice way of her saying, it's just a very nice way of her saying, yeah, I know you care about the country, but I have amnesia. I have no idea. I'm happy to just leave.
It's like, oh, he said the word forget. That's to do with memory. I can bring up my memory issue now. He hasn't mentioned thoughts or memories or anything until now.
Finally, I can make this about myself again.
My headcanon is that they were sliding down the mountain and he just fell into the lake right after.
How did the book wind up with the fortune teller?
He tossed it? He mailed it. He was sliding down by a mailman and was like, take this. I'm going to take this girl to a lake. Catch a fish.
For a pet. Adol comments on the rain clouds heading towards Minia. Cut to Minia, where it's raining. There's a knock at the town gates. It's the two wizards we saw. They do something evil and glowy, but we cut back to Zabik.
They do something evil and glowy that makes monsters come.
Java explains that this Book of Ys, the Book of Huddle, mentions a metal called Clyria, which was behind the prosperity of Ys. Fina mentions gold and silver. She only has two other bases of knowledge for the word metal, it seems, which reminds Adol that all of the silver in the decimated town had been taken by the monsters.
You know, metal, like wood and like rock and paper. That's metal, right?
Yeah. We go to Minia, where it stopped raining. Sarah is writing in her diary. She regrets sending Adol on his quest, as he might die. In fact, she worries, so might she. Then Goban, the unnamed mustachioed bloke from the beach in episode 1, enters through her window. She asks why he's there, and not watching Adol from the shadows, but he assures her that Adol is safe with Goban's mother, Jeva.
When he enters through the window and she thinks she's in danger, it looks like it's a setup for him to betray and kill her.
Yeah, why not knock at the front door, dude? Come on.
Like, we didn't learn yet that he's a thief or a rogue or whatever, which he says later. Spoilers.
That's actually the last thing he says. I'm a thief, and then disappears.
What a shitty thief to be announcing that.
Don't tell anyone! That's only for your knowledge. Client-patient privilege, whatever.
Back in Hazabik, Jeva sees something in her fortune-telling that concerns Sarah, and when she won't go into detail, Adol decides to head back to Minia. It took him days to reach Hazabik. In Minia, the two wizards fail their stealth roll and are spotted by the City Watch. Slag avoids being harmed, but his friend isn't as fortunate. So Slag blows his horn, and the area is quickly filled with people. But that's what the wizard wanted. The second wizard, Darius, went to Sarah's shop. He wants a Book of East she apparently has, but she refuses. So he magics her.
I hate that he goes, oh, I wish I didn't have, I was hoping I wouldn't have to do this. Dude, you came in there to deal with her. Like, what the fuck? Did you have like tens of ideas on what to do with her other than turning her to stone?
Well, yeah, she was going to hand over the book and then he was going to stab her. That was plan A. In the morning, Adol arrives, having ridden a horse instead of running this time, cutting the travel time down considerably. He rushes to Sarah's shop and finds her having been turned into a statue. After he's sad a bit, we cut to the wizards, where Genocris is the second wizard, first wizard, whatever, is told to continue searching for the book. Back at Minia, Adol is throwing a pity party until Goban clobbers him one. Goban reminds Adol that he didn't promise to save Sarah, he promised to save Asteria.
There's a cat in the background, I think.
Fucking cat. Attention seeking little shit. I'm keeping this in. Just so everyone knows, my wife's cat's an annoying, meowing cat.
You also need to include the guy on the motorbike riding past. Let's wait for him.
Hasn't been by today, unfortunately. Goban reminds Adol that he didn't promise to save Sarah, he promised to save Asteria. He then hands over a Book of Ys, the Book of Toba, but then Genocris appears to take the book. While the wizard is almost successful, he's foiled by Agar Crystal, but it shatters when Genocris is killed. No more get out of wizard free card for him. The next day, the town celebrates the Harvest Festival. Adol, Slagf, and Clays are in Sarah's shop when Leah enters. She says the crystal ball is telling her that they need to look deep in the mine. As we see the mine, Jeva narrates the plot, and then the narrator also narrates the plot. And we get the credits. So, has this made you want to check out Ys X Proud Nordics?
I've actually been interested in the original release for a while.
Now you know that Sarah gets turned into a statue. Spoilers.
Yeah, like 50 years earlier in the first game.
I wasn't particularly interested. I like the world and the story sounds interesting, but I think the main problem is just with the sheer amount of things there are to play. It feels like Ys just doesn't fall. At least this anime didn't quite sell me on prioritizing this over all the other things.
Okay, I've actually been playing Ys 9 Monstrum Nox, and because it's on PlayStation Plus, and I was looking for something to play, and then a bunch of games came out at the same time, but I still decided to give this a go. Adol gets arrested at the start of the game because of the events of every other game. Like, the local law enforcement is suspicious of him. There's a brilliant line about how he keeps coming across legendary weapons and losing them.
Huh. With the title, I thought that's his anti-hero arc and monster police comes. Oh, you're again killing monsters all over the place. What gives?
But if Ys 9 can hold my attention, I'll likely play Ys 10. So is this a Yata, Nani, or a Baka, Arturo?
I think this is a backup for me. I liked the story and the characters, but it felt so slow and it doesn't feel like it's doing anything new. I didn't particularly care about our protagonist. Like, I like the narrative, like, I like the setting more than I liked the overall world, is what I meant to say.
Fair. And goes.
It was a Yata for me. I thought it was solid, good animation, and a really solid hero's journey kind of thing. I didn't really find any big flaws with it, with the storytelling, and it kind of harkens back to the old simpler stories, I guess. Again, it doesn't, like Arturo said, it doesn't stand out, but I think it's good.
Okay, I also said Yata. After the first episode, it doesn't really hang around. The first episode was a bit of a slog in places, but the rest of it moved at a pretty decent pace. The story interested me. And for an early 2000s dub, the voice acting wasn't bad. So, does it deserve its AnyList score of 60%?
I think it fits right around. Even though it's not for me, I can see how it like works for other people, especially given the age of the anime itself.
If it was in line with all the other scores that we've seen, I feel like it should get 70% at least. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. I could see it at 70. It's only 7 episodes long, so we watched almost half of it for this podcast. So unless the final 4 episodes do something terrible. But that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gus.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. Sora Dewa, game on.